What up, fam? It's your boy, ZDogMD. I'm not sure why I'm talking like this, but it's Sunday, which means against medical advice. What's up, snitches? We're not going to curse today because it's Sunday and because our AMA show is clean. So if you've got kids, bring them in and bore them to tears. Because today's show, Tom Heinberg, what's this today's show about?
Today's show is about scripting in nursing. Is it good? Question mark.
And I would say not even just nursing. I'm talking about all of healthcare, because there is this movement afoot, my friends, to script stuff. And is that good? Is it bad? Am I indifferent? Well, here is the story, my friends. This week, if you guys saw me live in Arizona, in Marana, Arizona, I was at a clinic over there, MHC Healthcare, doing my thing. I did a talk, and the talk was at the Ritz-Carlton in Marana, which was a nice facility, although their food sucks. But that's pretty much, look, I don't know why everybody's so into the Ritz, because their food tastes like balls.
Personally, I'm more of a Four Seasons guy, but you know.
You know, myself, I like the JW Marriott, Embassy Suites, and occasionally a good Hojo.
That's true.
Because, you know, they don't have food, except for
Give Logan three guesses for what a Hojo is.
Okay, Logan, three guesses.
What's sandwich. What? Is that right?
It's a Howard Johnson.
Howard Johnson.
They used to be a big deal.
Motel, you know. Those of my generation.
Sounds like a sandwich.
It. You know what? In a way, it is a sandwich. It's an ish sandwich, because we don't curse on Sundays on our show because of stuff. Guys, so this is what went down. I was at the Ritz-Carlton, and I ordered some room service, because y'all know how I roll. And no, I didn't go live from my room because I was tired and I didn't want to, and I wanted my chicken wings and I wanted my jumbo shrimp. And so I ordered those chicken wings and jumbo shrimp, and I covered myself with buffalo sauce, and I sat in my underwear and I ate that ish in front of the TV while binge watching Game of Thrones. Okay, don't judge. This is what you can judge. The fact that the person who came, the dude who came to deliver the food, goes tuck, 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 tuck. I open the door. Hello, Mr. Demania. It is my pleasure to serve you today. My name is Billy Bob, whatever his name was. May I please enter your room? And I said, this is stilted and awkward. Yes, you may, stilted and awkward, Billy Bob. I have no problem with you entering my room. He comes in and he says, how is your day going today? I hope you are enjoying our facilities. There are many wonderful hiking trails. Then he takes the thing and he says, where can I place your meal? And I said, maybe over here? Excellent. May I move the table to the right? Thank you. Did I mention my name is Billy Bob? Okay, here. And then he puts down the stuff and he goes through the ritual of opening each thing and saying, this is your buffalo chicken wings with extra buffalo sauce, ranch, and blue cheese as a custom order. Is this correct, Mr. Demania? Yeah, it's cool, dude. Okay, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and eat now. No, this is your jumbo shrimp. They came with extra cocktail sauce. Is this to your liking, Mr. Demania? Yeah, the shrimp are cool too, bro. I can see the plates there, and everything is cool. Now, I just want you to GTFO so I can EAT my MEAL, and I'm gonna SPELL everything else in this entire SENTENCE. And he's just like, yes, okay, excellent. May I provide you with the check, sir? Yes, you may. How is your day going? Have you tried our hiking trails? I'm like, you repeated that part of the script. You already did that one. Then I signed the thing and he goes, may I please set your privacy on the door so you may enjoy your meal without any disturbances, Mr. Demania? Yes, you may, Jerome. Thank you. Thank you, sir. And then he closes the door and walks out. The entire interaction lasted way longer than it should have, gave me information I didn't want or need, and made me think that he was a freaking Stepford robot. And I started thinking, I've heard so much about the scriptification of medicine and how nurses in particular are having to go through Studer and ADET and all these other sort of scripting protocols. And it got me thinking, does this stuff actually do anything? Does it destroy medicine? And why are my buffalo wings cold? Because I had to wait so long. What do you think, Tom Heinberg?
Rich people problems. By the way, I don't think a guy named Billy Bob is working at the Ritz.
But well, you know what it was Arizona.
You know what I hate about those scripting things is, you know, it makes the other person into an automaton. And you're like, why am I even talking to a real person right now? Well, this feels like when I'm on hold with a call center.
Now that's
going to the phone tree.
That's exactly what I felt like. I'm like, get me a robot or a robot.
Yeah.
And you know, here's the best part.
Because at least then you can just like cancel, yep. Operator.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And this is the thing. So I started talking to some of the people who were at this conference, and some of them knew friends who worked at the Ritz. And what they said is that everything at the Ritz is protocoled out. It's scripted out. And the employees there learn the protocols and cannot deviate from the protocols on pain of death. And so as a result, the feeling I got when I was there was of an artificial, stilted friendliness that was inauthentic, even though they all had perfect smiles. They even managed to wrinkle the little sides of their eyes. Yep. But then you look closely and you look under the facade and you see what's happening. Billy Bob, who was actually an Asian male, so probably not named Billy Bob, he had short sleeves, part of the Ritz outfit, and on his left arm there was a strange glove-like pantyhose from his elbow all the way down to his wrist. And it took me a second to figure, I was like, is this some kind of compression stocking? Does he have a DVT? Is this some weird carpal tunnel thing? No, it was something to cover his tattoos.
Yeah.
So not only do they script how you talk, they script how you look, they script how you walk, they script how you, how you poop. Like all of it, and I'm extrapolating from first principles, Tom, because they're scripting how he poos. This many wipes, this much grunting, it's a whole process.
It kind of reminds me, an early example of this would be Henry Ford. Henry Ford basically would go in and tell his workers how to live their lives even when they weren't in his factory.
But you know what, that was Henry Ford, and I trust the F out of Henry Ford.
Well, that was going on back in 1910 when people didn't know any better. It's pretty amazing it's still going on today.
Right? I mean, if you're going to do it today, you might as well talk like Henry Ford. Be it. Now, listen here, see? You need to wipe your butt 3 times and then make sure that you pull this lever 4 times and make sure this happens. But see, now it's happening in healthcare. Now, here's the question. Is it actually something that we bring upon ourselves because we're so inconsistent, we don't talk to our patients, we give them crappy experiences, we get treated like crap, and we get punched and beat and spat on, and as a result, we reflect some of this culture back at the patients, and it's been going on for a long time through Health 1.0 and 2.0. So now, as a result, 2.0 says, well, we look at the service industry, we look at the Ritz, their net promoter scores and customer satisfaction scores are quite high, and they understand hospitality. So why don't we take these same principles that started out with housekeepers in the hospital, actually, that had to go on a script in the early days of when they were trying this, and let's apply it to pretty much everybody. So now entire entities and organizations have sprung up to consult in this space. Studer, S-T-U-D-E-R, is one such group. And they came up with a particular type of script, which we'll talk about in a second. But the question is, again, why do it? And I think part of the reason is that we're so non-standardized in healthcare that it gets to the point where you're missing stuff. So people don't introduce themselves to patients. They make U-turns at the foot of the bed. They don't set the expectations for the patient and say, how long are you going to be waiting for this thing? When's the doctor going to be here? What's the procedure for? What's going on? And so as a result, having a script allows some protocolization and standardization of the information we give. And in fact, I was talking to some of the group of clinicians at this talk the other day in Arizona, and they were telling me, now they have certain protocols, the MAs. I was talking to the MAs, the medical assistants, and they were saying, we have to actually ask, do you have sex with men, women, or both? How do you gender identify? And there's a series of questions. And so you're asking a 70-year-old guy how he gender identifies, right? And believe me, they get a lot of crap from these patients.
Dude, I broke my finger. Every time I went in, they asked me if there was domestic abuse in the home. And I was like, are you asking if I beat my wife? Because the answer is no. And that's very rude of you. Look, I'm 6'3". I weigh 240 pounds. No one's beating me up at home, dude.
I think they were.
You can skip that question.
They were wondering if you were doing the beating and you broke your finger beating someone down, dude. And I'm thinking about your poor little dog who really has the emotional feel to me of an abused animal. I'm just saying. Because you abuse that animal with love. You guys don't understand what a wuss Tom Heineber becomes around that dog.
What would one of these scripts sound like?
Oh, I love how he's changing the subject now. He's like, you're a wuss around your dog. He's like, well, so what would one of these scripts sound like, Z?
Okay,
because I don't want to talk about this dog anymore.
My dog is a proper little gentleman, okay? All right, you shut your mouth. He's a way better dog than you are, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Now that just hurts, Tom Heineber. So what would one of these scripts look like?
Yeah.
So first of all, I guess we'll back up 1 second and say, what is a script? Is it a written out set of statements that you give, or is it an outline and a sort of a map for the kind of content we want to actually convey, but we don't actually write it all out? Now, one of those answers is correct for healthcare, in my opinion, and the other is not. For example, when I do the show, I think in my head of a broad outline of what I'm going to do, and then I try to hit those points. When I go live and do a talk, I don't have it scripted out. The only talk I ever did that was scripted was my TEDMED talk. And even that one, I went rogue like Trump and started going off the rails, which pretty much made the talk reasonably funny. Otherwise, it would have been a complete disaster. So now when I do talks, I think in my mind, my script is really an outline. And that outline I'm reminded of by the slides that I have. So when I see a slide, I go, okay, I'm supposed to talk vaguely about this concept now. And that's basically how I do it. Now in healthcare, the groups like Studer, they've created a thing called, by the acronym ADET. And I think I'm pronouncing that right. Am I pronouncing that right, Tom? You know better than me.
Yeah, it's ADET. And you know what's funny, Z? I just happen to have one right here.
Oh, my gosh.
Z, I thought we could role play a little where I'll be the nurse and you be the patient.
Oh, that's perfect. But first, you really brought that?
Oh, yeah. This is a real script that I got.
That is amazing.
I got inside sources in the nursing world, yo.
So what ADET stands for is A is acknowledges the patient. So, hey, homie, what's up? And they say, you know, you're supposed to smile and make eye contact, call the patient by his or her last name. I is introduce self. I'm Billy Bob McThornton, your, you know, MA or doctor or CNA or pharmacist. Duration of the task or test, so that's the D, durational. Well, this is going to take about this long, like infinity, and also I don't know how long it's going to take. E is an explanation. This is why we're doing what we're doing, what's coming next, what tools we're going to use, et cetera. And T in ADET is thank the patient. With lines such as, we're glad you chose us.
Oh, thank you.
Even though we're not. So Tom, let's do this role playing.
If you'd want to see what something like ADET might look like in real life, got it right here, people.
Oh, that's perfect.
Good morning, afternoon, Mr. Dog. We've been expecting you. We're glad you're here.
It's Dr. Dog. I didn't go to 4 years of evil medical school to be called Mr. Dog.
Great. My name is Tom, and I'll be your nurse. I've been a nurse for about 6 years. Oh, I have over 6 years of experience. The doctors say that my skills are the best. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, why am
I... That's fantastic, because we want you to receive the best quality care in our hospital, and we're going to round on you every hour while you're in the room. Side note, part of the reason why I'm telling you this is so that you don't act like a whiny idiot and hit your call light all the time, okay?
I want to burn this place down. Is that normal?
Now allow me to access the 5 P's. How's your pain?
Pitiful.
Okay, great. How's your position?
Painful.
Amazing. How's your potty? Do you need to go tinkle?
Constantly.
Your periphery. May I move your things and personal items closer to you, Mr. Dog?
Touch them and I'll throat punch
you. That's amazing. Thank you for saying that. Thank you so much for choosing Z-Dog Studios Hospital. Is there anything else that I can do for you today? Because I have the time.
Can I have a real fork so I can poke my eyes out? Because this is horrifying.
Okay, I'm going to go check on bed 5. See you later, Mr. Dog.
That... was, you know what? That was an HCAHPS perfect score.
That's right.
That was, and this kind of scripting, you're not joking.
This is a real script.
This is
actually
an
actual.
It's a prop.
I write it off my phone.
Yeah, same thing.
Drop your mic, Tom.
How much audio did we actually get, Logan?
Oh, all of it.
Oh, good.
This one he moved away.
Z, my wife, who's a nurse, her least favorite part of this script is there anything else I can do for you?
Because I have the time.
I have the time. Because
that's a lie.
Yeah, she said people would be like, yeah, I'd like some ice chips. It's like, well, that's great, fuckface, because bed 5 is dying over there. Sorry, I'm not supposed to swear on the show. But it's like, come on, man, I can't do that for you. I don't have the time. I'm slammed.
Look, that is just pure customer satisfaction BS. Now, some of that actually helps the patient feel like they're valued, but not when it comes off stilted and rehearsed. If you're thinking about an outline, if you're thinking about, okay, well, I want to make sure I don't miss any points. I want to ask them if they need anything. I want to make sure they know how available or not that I am. And actually being honest and saying, it may take me a while to get back to your call light, but if it's an emergency, we will get to you. Sorry, it's busy tonight. We'll do everything we can to keep you comfortable. Thank you for not being a complete a-hole. And there are ways to do that so that you don't miss anything, so that you don't drop the ball. And here's the thing. So when you have scripts, first of all, you're catering. When you look at Studer's website, they're like, we'll get your patient satisfaction scores up an average of 9%. People who use our program find that their HCAHPS scores are higher. And it's never, they give some lip service to, oh, actual patient outcomes?
Right.
Like maybe those are better too. But we don't know because that would be crazy because we don't really care about actual outcomes. It's about perception. And right now, perception of patients in most hospitals is crap. This is the worst experience I've ever had. I'm vulnerable. I'm wearing a shitty gown. The food is horrible. Mm-hmm. All these terrible things. So how do we fix that? With words that actually have no backing behind them and that are rehearsed, that's total crap.
I think one of the actual most degrading parts is the part where you have to announce who you are and how many years of service you've been and what your degrees are or whatever. It's
humiliating.
Hey, I'm here. I'm in the hospital. Yeah. Clearly people vetted me before I got here.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second, because I actually am not entirely against the concept of certain protocols in how we deliver information. Not scripts, but a sort of a memory palace of, well, I want to hit these points, because if I don't, then the patient goes away with a poor understanding, the communication isn't as good, and I haven't set expectations, and I may not actually provide as good of care. And I think about this as a physician. I want to make sure I hit these things, because otherwise patient's going to bounce back, pharmacy's going to call me, patient's going to call me at home, all these other things are going to happen because I didn't communicate effectively. And it's possible outcomes could be worse because patient didn't understand. So there's some advantage to this. There is no advantage to memorizing a script. All it does is make the patient look at you like you're insane, unless they literally have had the worst experiences of their lives in hospitals. And this person's consistently robotic.
Well, that's just basically saying, like, there needs to be a broader outline so that you can allow people to personalize medicine. What a crazy concept that is.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Well, you know, in nursing in particular, when nurses communicate with physicians, for example, they use SBAR, right? And that is a kind of script. It's not really a script, but it's an outline. They actually refer to it as a script in the teaching. But the thing is, it's really an outline. And if you, for those who don't know the five people, and I was one of them recently, S is situation. What's happening? So when you call a doc about a patient, you say, okay, here's what's going on. And a good example of this is, I'm such and such, and I'm calling about so-and-so. So here's who I am, here's who the patient is. And that, honestly, here's the thing. Whether I'm a patient or a doctor, let's say I'm getting this call from a nurse. I'm getting the call at 2 a.m. I'm not thinking clearly. And I have gotten tons of calls that don't use SBAR. Now, here's a call that uses SBAR. I'm so-and-so, a nurse on 5 West. I'm taking care of Mr. Pickles in bed 3. Do you know him? Yes, I know him. Okay, I'm calling about this, and this is stating the problem. And that's S in situation. That's great. That's a good way to communicate. B is background. So this guy was admitted for this. He's this old. He's on these meds. These are his labs. Here's his clinical information. That helps me a lot. Now, there are some doctors who will just start interrupting because they already know the situation. They want to cut to the chase. But actually making sure you at least try to go through the steps of this is very good. And it also makes sure that your thinking is clear before you call a consultant, another doctor, a nurse calls a doctor calls a nurse. And then you go to A, which is assessment. This is what I think the problem is, in my opinion. And this is what I think has been lacking in a lot of new nursing graduates, because we're getting rid of our older experienced nurses and older staff in lieu of younger people. There's so much churn and devaluation and commodification. So experienced nurses have great critical thinking. They're like, look, I've seen a butt ton of this. I'm thinking it's this. I've seen this before. I think it's transfusion-related lung injury. He just had a transfusion. He's a little bit more tachypneic, breathing faster. I've seen this before. He says he's uncomfortable. Could we do X, Y, and Z, which gets you to R, which is recommendation. I would suggest doing this lab or imaging or this consult or this, or maybe come see the patient, or is a higher level of care needed, that kind of thing. So SBAR as a script, I don't even think of it as a script. I think of it as kind of a mental way of thinking about how to communicate about a patient. I actually like that. I think that's helpful. And as a doctor, that's the kind of call I want. And that's the kind of call I want to give when I'm talking to other people on the healthcare team. Now, here's an example, Tom, of when SBAR isn't used. So when I was a resident, you would get calls from nurses. And I would work at the VA in Palo Alto. And by the way, the VA, so many amazing Filipino nurses at the VA in Palo Alto. And they would anytime I said any, like, I knew a couple words of Tagalog, so I would use them, and they would be like, "I'm not good, Dr. Damania knows the language." They would bring me the best food ever, until they brought me the balot, which was the fermented chicken embryo.
Whoa.
Yeah, I ate it. It was crunchy, but I really deeply appreciate it. But sometimes you would get calls that were non-SBAR, and it would be like, I'd wake up, "Hey, it's Dr. Damania, I'm on call, medicine," and it would be like, "Hello, doctor, you know bed 5. And I'd be like, no, I don't know bed five. Like, what? And who are you? And what's going on? She has a fever. Okay, wait. Okay, first of all, last thing I checked, I'm on call for the VA. And back when I did it, there was like two or three she vets. Everybody else were male vets. They were all Korean vets and almost 100% male. So she is having a fever. I quickly remembered that in Tagalog, there's no he-she distinguisher. Yeah. So everybody is just he or she, depending on, you know, the moon or whatever. So she is having a fever. And fever, I know from my limited Tagalog accentry that she's saying fever. So, okay, so there's a fever. Okay, first of all, who is bed five? And who is he? And what's his name? And could you give me some background? Because I am covering 30 patients and I need to see them on my list and I only have a quick one-liner here on my list. So she said, oh, hold on. Bessie, can you bring the chart for bed five because the doctor wants to know who he is? And then the chart would come and then you'd open the chart. And I'd be like, okay, so they're having a fever, so what are the vitals? Hold on, doctor. Bessie, could you bring the vitals? And then the vitals would come and it would be already like time is ticking, I'm falling asleep. And I would say, what's the temperature? Hold on. 454 Fahrenheit. And I would kind of, I'm like in this funk going, wait a minute. This would imply that the patient is actually on fire because that is the actual ignition point for stuff. Like, so is this what's going on? Is the patient actually burning right now? Is the patient on fire? And I'm like laughing to myself. And you just hear, yes, doctor. And you're like, wait, what? The patient is ablaze. The patient is ablaze? So hold on. I'm thinking you should have told me that first because this is more than a fever. Could we get an order for Tylenol, please? No, this is not a Tylenol issue. This is a serious, I'm going to tell you what right now. I need you to go in there and put him out and probably call someone else other than me. And literally, it would be something like, we cannot take a verbal order to extinguish him, doctor. You're going to have to put that in the chart because the verbal. And so this was the kind of call. And then I would be like, okay. So without some protocolization, you can't get great patient care, great communication across the board from doctor to nurse to doctor, patient to us to patient.
I love he has a fever and he's on fire. That's
yes, doctor. He is ablaze. That all being said, where are my Filipino nurses at? Come on, give me some love. Becky Woods got some fire emojis. Gail Cardoza says, call the fire department. Ay, nako.
By the way, my wife informed me today when I was telling her that we were going to do this for the show, that she said that they make you go in like once a year and basically like give this script. Like you have to monologue to your, superior person. And you have to prove that you're on script and you know the script, and if they've made changes to the script, that you know the changes, and et cetera.
I would put a knife in my eye if I had to do that, if any job told me to do that. Because I'm me and I can't stick to a script.
Yeah.
But like, could you imagine? Could you do that, Tom, if someone said, film guy, like you have to work with scripts.
Even, you know, the thing is, when I'm dealing with somebody who's using a script, and it's always painfully obvious when they're using a script because, mm-hmm. you know, people don't put a lot of feeling into it, mm-hmm. especially when you're at a gas station. It's not like it was their dream to deliver monologues about, do you need paper or plastic? Like, that wasn't their dream. So they don't put a lot of feeling into it. And you always give them the first rude no, right? Like, yep. They're like, yeah, sir, do you want to sign up for our loyalty program card? And you're like, no, God, no.
Exactly.
And then they're like, well, you know, the thing about it is, and it's like, you've already lost me. Yeah, I told you no. I told you I don't want this script. I told you I don't want this interaction all in one go.
Yep.
And you continue.
Continue to go.
Now this is exceedingly painful.
It's funny. That made me think of Fabulous Freddy's gas station here in town in Summerlin. I go to get my gas there.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And
because we live next to each other.
We live next to each other because we're bro friends. And this is what happens. They have these like high school girls who are doing their summer work thing because daddy wants them to earn enough money to pay their cell phone bill so they can insta-text each other. And they'll come up after you pull in and they'll be like, hi, have a fabulous day. Would you like me to pump your gas?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this, 1955? No, I don't want you to touch my car. I don't want you to touch my gas tank. I definitely don't want to tip you. So I know, no, I'll pump my own gas.
Right.
Well, have a fabulous day. And they walk up. And I'm just thinking, this is so awful. Like, I want to burn this entire place to the ground. And then you go across the street to Terrible's. It's literally a gas station called Terrible's. And they're like, yeah, what? You want gas? You can have gas if you want. No, I'm not going to pump your gas, bitch. I ain't got time for you. I mean, that's the gas station I want to be at. Maybe it's just me.
That is so true for people that live in Las Vegas.
They know.
So do you think it's harder to get doctors to use these scripts than it is to get nurses to use them?
Oh, doctors. So doctors have an entire part of their brain devoted to resisting anybody telling them what to do in terms of scripts. And so when Atul Gawande wrote his book, The Checklist Manifesto, which is all about how standardization of certain protocols in surgery can actually save lives and improve outcomes, pretty much everybody was like, oh, hell no, you don't tell me what to do. And the truth is, when we use our electronic health record and we add checklist order forms, these are a double-edged sword. So one thing they do on the bad side is that there's all this duplicate orders and stuff that you don't need that you have to go through every single time and click on or off. The good news is they often have stuff in, again, the protocol that you would have forgotten to do or to ask or to think about. So DVT prophylaxis, ventilator-associated pneumonia prophylaxis, things that are going to actually save lives and improve outcomes that you might have forgotten because you're fallible and you have 30 patients and you don't think necessarily as systematically as that. Those sort of click protocols helped me organize my thinking. So it really depends. Now, as far as verbal scripts, I think every doctor should have an outline in their head of how they're going to communicate data consistently. And the key thing is consistently, because if you're inconsistent, first of all, patients often will complain that one person at the clinic, you know, asked them all about do they have sex with men or women or both and what's their gender identity, and the other one didn't. And then they get angry when there's inconsistency and they assume that this person has it out for them. If there's a degree of consistency across caregivers, it's a little easier, but no one wants to be scripted. So how do you do that? You hit major points. And that's not super difficult to do. And the problem is we have to click a lot of boxes in the chart anyway. So a lot of times it comes off as a script because you're like, hey, do you smoke? Yes. You should quit smoking. It is bad for you. Click. And, you know, that's never going to come off as authentic. And this is the thing. It's about authenticity, isn't it? Don't you want your caregiver to have some semblance of actually treating you as a unique person?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, hookers, it's the same way. You want them to pretend they love you. Did I say that out loud? I meant to think that.
That's called the girlfriend experience. You can pay extra for that.
Can you? It's extra?
I've heard.
I've never been to a brothel.
the thing, it's so infuriating when someone is doing this to you in person, face to face. The administration thinks it's going to be better. It's way worse. When you're doing it to me over a phone, I get it. Yeah, you're sitting there reading off a script. When you're doing it to me in person, we're looking each other in the eyes, I'm ready to kill you.
Yeah.
I'm ready to jump over the counter and literally strangle you to death.
Well, I didn't. So let me finish the story of Billy Bob, the Asian service person at the Ritz. So he had delivered my food that day for breakfast. I had just a pot of coffee. Then he delivered the buffalo wings for lunch. Then I went to the talk and I did my performance and he was one of the wait staff. By the way, so he must have worked a 16-hour day. He was one of the wait staff in the evening and I tipped him each time. He was one of the wait staff in the evening serving the meals to the people at the dinner that I was performing at. I saw him there and I said, you know what? Do you think, because I don't want to waste all this food because I can never eat before I perform and it's this nice, really nice meal. Can you have it brought to my room and I'm happy to, however you want to facilitate that, let's do that. And this is what happened. Immediately there was a violation of protocolization. Like, wait, what? You want me to do what? Wait, I'm sorry? I have no, does not, steam started coming out of the robot. And he literally looked at me like, wait, you want me to bring your food from this gala just upstairs to your room and put it like room service there? And I was like, yeah, exactly. If you can do that, because I hate to waste food. Like, I'm Indian. My parents used to beat me when I wasted food. Could I please? I would love to eat it later. And I don't want to buy more room service. And this poor, you know, clinic's going to have to pay for my meal. They already paid for it. I'd love to have it. And he was, I need to talk to my supervisor. And he ran off.
It's just like, error.
And then he came back and he's like, Mr. Damania, is everything to your liking? We will be complying with your request. Thank you for your request. It'll be our pleasure to serve you. And it's almost like he went back, plugged into the matrix, got a new script downloaded, and came back. And I was like, this is the end of the world. I hate this so much. And then I tipped him because I felt really bad for him because he was working 16 hours.
The moral of the story there is that Dr. Demania got room service 3 times in one day, people.
A gangster's life is never easy. It is fraught with calories, carb avoidance, which was hard, and wonderful, wonderful people that I met at that thing. I will say that. Should we read some comments, Tommy Heineberg?
Yeah, let's read some. Jody says, I think the longer you work in healthcare, you develop your own scripts for different situations, scripted responses. But I can see how scripting things would standardize things and help those new to healthcare until they develop that skill. So Z, what is your perfect script?
My perfect script is this. Sometimes when people take too much Viagra, their erection lasts for days and days. That's what has occurred here. Soon, your penis will fall off, and you will be left with just a bloody stump. Hopefully, that will be to your liking, sir. Is there anything else I can do? Thank you for choosing Z-Dog Hospitals. That's my favorite script to use.
It's called Peronis. It gets real hard, and then soft forever.
That's a priapism, but... I'll forgive you because of the total net hours of medical school you've had, which was zero. But Peyronie's is great because it's a bent penis. One thing I wanted to read a quote, actually, of someone who was quoted in Dollars and Cents, the magazine of economic justice.
Ooh.
That's a thing. And they were talking about scripts, and they said, the exchange may feel unnatural, even awkward, but scripted talk is more than just an annoying quirk of the modern service economy. It represents a deep form of managerial control, a regimentation of the labor process so total that it extends even to speech. So this is actually a common refrain in unions, nursing unions, like you cannot script us because it is a kind of managerial control. Like what you're trying to do is just extend your evil employer influence to us. But then the counter is, then stop doing such a shitty job explaining stuff to patients.
You know, if we were smart, we would have related this all to the NFL controversy and the free speech thing, because it's almost vaguely a free speech issue.
It kind of is. Like, can I not do my job in a way that actually is concordant with me and who I am? But the truth is, like, again, like the commenter said, Jody said, like, we come up with our own scripts, but people who are new to the game, they might need help with that, and then they modify it. So again, and I'm going to take a stand here. I'm going to say we need mental protocols that are somewhat standard in their overarching structure. In other words, you should tell a patient who you are. You should tell a patient what to expect. You know, you should ask if there's anything they need and then explain and set expectations as to how they might get that. So do that. Do it in your own way, but do it consistently in a way that you have experienced works well for you and your personality and your style of communication. Otherwise, it's going to be like, yes, you can have what you like. If you, thank you, hot, bye, and then steam comes out of the robot.
I think that you should all just take a knee tomorrow when they make you try and use the script.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Don't do that. let's see some more comments here. Agree, says Steve Brannon. Some protocolization is helpful and increases safety, but the pendulum has swung too far and has replaced critical thinking by a new generation of providers. I agree. I think you can overdo everything, and they've overdone this. Because, again, the newer people are just going through the script, and anytime you violate it, they don't know what to do. And now what happens is they're told by protocols when to call doctors. It used to be you actually had to think, like, okay, is this a safe situation? Do I need to call the doctor in my experience? Yeah. Now it's like, no, I got to call the doctor for a white count of 10.1. That's 0.1 above normal or whatever it is. And then the doctor's like, why are you calling me? And then they have to go through SBAR. Yeah. The situation is the white count is 10.1. It's like, yeah, I know. I have access to these labs, but thank you. So nobody gets to use critical thinking when you're a slave to the protocol.
Becky Sue, great name, by the way, says, my favorite script working as a pharmacy tech. Sorry, Geico isn't offering prescription coverage at this time. Do you have another form of insurance? Insure your motorcycle, but not your tabs.
That's right. I would use Progressive, to be honest, because flow is hot. You know what I mean?
Well, Heather Walker says, where is the critical thinking, yo? And then Claire Church says, critical thinking has been kicked out the door. And I think the more that you script people, you are going to inhibit their critical thinking, like you said earlier.
If you overdo it.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. There's a reason that this came up in the first place, and that is that a lot of people are not doing the minimum necessary in terms of communication. And I see it all the time. I've been guilty of it myself. Like, I've been guilty of the U-turn at the foot of the bed, not giving family stuff because I'm busy or I'm brushed or I have some transference. Like, I don't like this particular family member who's an ass.
And, you know, as from a patient perspective, I think a lot of a lot of the problems that come later can be alleviated in that first interaction.
100%.
If you tell them what to expect right up front,
yep.
then they're not going to be anxious, because people are very anxious in a hospital setting.
Right? They're the most vulnerable they can be. We put them in a crappy gown where their butt's hanging out.
Yep.
We take away their dignity. We take away their sense of control. And then we wonder as caregivers why they're so agitated and angry and demanding. And I think partially that's a component of it. And we can diffuse that if we do it thoughtfully. But it has to be through our own personality. We can have a mental script, but right. it has to be ours. It cannot be, hi, nice to meet you. I'm a representative of Summerlin Memorial Hospital or whatever it is.
But if you skip it, you're going to end up paying for it later.
You'll pay for it.
It's just straight up procrastination.
Absolutely. Basically. So Studer, if you're watching, and I know you are because everyone watches our show, everyone, and I mean everyone. I'm talking to you, Trump. I'm talking to you, Kim Jong-un. I'm talking to you, Billy Dee Williams. I know you watch the show. Colt 45 works. Every time. If you're listening, let's make scripts malleable, let's make them personalized, and let's use them to improve actual outcomes. Because isn't that why we do this? It's not just about satisfaction scores. It's about experience and it's about outcomes. Are patients more adherent when they trust us? Are they going to have a smoother experience with less agitation, less potential violence against us, which has been a huge topic of conversation recently with us. So all that being said, what do you think, Tom? Anything else?
I think...
Take a knee.
I done did it again, y'all. I fixed healthcare. Yeah. Once again, nailing it, Tom Einiver. I'm gonna take a knee in solidarity with the Trumpers.
Do it. Oh, there it is.
This is like a Captain Morgan thing.
I'm take one, too. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light... What so proudly we hail.
It's kind of weird when you take a knee and you sing the national anthem at the same time. That's a little strange.